This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Happy Halloween to all. I'm going to finish up my talk on this human trafficking discussion we just had. We're going to talk a little bit about legal immigration. We're going to talk about draining the swamp. Why does Congress keep getting paid even though everything's shut down? All that, so much more. On another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and I should clarify, because I didn't want you to get the wrong impression. Last hour when I said I Irish goodbye'd out of the party, and I said it bought me 15 to 20 minutes of sleep, I didn't go right to sleep. I did order a pizza, and I had, what, Chris? I was in Chicago for one night, not the deep dish, Corey. I have some taste. People think Chicago's only that disgusting deep dish lasagna they serve. No, they have a wonderful tavern-style pizza that, oh, it was on point, man. What, Chris? No, I didn't get a Chicago dog because I don't put tomatoes or whatever the garbage is they put on there. Back to our discussion, Chris. Stop distracting me. The question was asked. The guy had a human trafficking, a sex trafficking sting busted in his neighborhood in Omaha, Nebraska. And it was just curious. How? How could you? Why would you? How could a human being do that? Well, this honestly comes back to slavery. This is one of the things that I've always thought this, because slavery, it's as old as humanity. It's crazy how you read any history book. I mean, I know your American history professor taught you America is the only one who ever had slaves, but it is the entirety of human history, and it still goes on today, including in the United States of America. It has never gone away, ever. Human beings owning other human beings. I have always found it to be just abhorrent, completely disgusting. I could not wrap my mind around. If you gave me one and it was perfectly legal, hey, Jesse, this dude's going to, all the stuff you don't want to do, he's going to go mow the lawn and, when you're tired, he's going to get up and drive the kids to school. He's your slave. I'd be mortified. Hey, man, do you feel like it? Can I pay you? I don't. No. The thought of owning somebody is horrible to me. But it's not because I'm a good person. I recognize that every human being is a sacred individual that should not be owned by anyone. And I'm sure that's probably how you feel. But you have to understand that that's not common. People throughout history have owned slaves, and they have had no problem with it whatsoever. Societies have had laws governing the treatment of slaves. Oh, you can beat them, but you can't kill them. Well, you can own a bunch. Try not to starve them to death. If you do, make sure there's a justification. Of course, if they escape, you can skin them alive and crucify them on the gates of your town. But what of it? What? That's how history works, man. That's how humanity works. Human beings all over the world, 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and right now, have believed that other humans should be owned and controlled, and you can use them whatever way you want to use them. And I am sorry. I know your fifth grade social studies teacher told you that the United States of America was the only country that ever participated in this kind of thing, but that teacher's a disgusting communist moron trying to burn down your country. The truth is, slavery is the history of the world. Awful. When you would lose wars in ancient days. Why was it so lucrative? The slaves. The slaves you would get, they were worth more than the gold and silver. Did you know that? That it was the preferred booty from war. If you had a chest of gold or you know, five slaves, oh, you take the slaves all day long. You either keep them for yourself or you have these slave auctions. Is that just nuts? That there would be, there would, in the same way your town probably has a farmer's market, something equivalent, maybe a flea market, a farmer's market. We have a farmer's market in my town. I think it's every Sunday, maybe Saturday and Sunday. We pop in every now and Ob likes the healthy stuff. Anyway, we pop in the farmer's market and you just walk around and, oh, can I have some pickles? And yeah, I want some hot sauce. They would have those right out in the open selling people. And the other people in societies, like all of them, this is almost every society in history, would walk by and not think anything of it. Hey, mom, do we have enough for a slave today? Don't you find that insane? I do. I find it can be to be completely insane, but it is also human nature. It's obviously part of human nature, or it wouldn't be so common throughout history. It's terrible. Dr. Beaver Hunter, I'm wondering your thoughts on the modern legal immigrants wanting to conform and change America into the same crap hole countries they left. When my great-grandfather came over here from Italy, he was so proud to be an American. He wouldn't let his kids speak Italian. He said, we're Americans now, and we speak American. He always had an American flag in his front yard, was so proud to be part of this great country. His sons were all patriots. Well, this is something we've talked about before. The United States of America, it is unique. It's unique, and it has been unique. And it is understandable if you are from a country that is bad. There are all kinds of countries that are bad. They treat people horribly, that people don't have rights. There's no food. There's no, and so it's perfectly understandable to look at America, to look across an ocean maybe at America and think, man, that's where I want to live. But everybody wants to live here. Not everybody wants to be an American. And that is the critical difference when it comes to immigration. And we have allowed our kind nature in this country to be used against us by evil people trying to replace American patriots. No. We definitely need another 100,000 people from Somalia. Why do we need that? What, are you a racist? You must be racist. I guess you don't like people from Somalia. Actually, I don't. As a matter of fact, now that you bring it up, I don't like cultures that mutilate women. I think that's actually horrific. I think it's a terrible thing, and therefore I think anybody from that culture should not probably be allowed to come here. Now, what if there was a Somali? Maybe a Somali who helped out Americans, put himself out there. A Somali who very clearly wanted to be an American. He wanted to be an American. He didn't want to come over here and wave the Somali flag and do the Muslim call to prayer in Dearborn, Michigan. He wanted to come over here and plant the red, white, and blue in his yard and do some military service while he's at it, just because he loves the country. Now we're talking. I actually talked last night at that event, at the Radio Hall of Fame event, I actually talked to an older Cuban couple. They were both Cubans. I would say 60s, maybe 70s. They were huge fans of the show. Not big fans of communism. Her father was executed by the communists in Cuba. These people were so freaking American, man. They were so American, so red, white, and blue, freedom-loving American. They didn't come over here and bring Cuba with them. Now, of course, there's going to be some cuisine and there's going to be relative. Of course, that's always going to be part of it. They're here for freedom. They're here to be Americans. But we don't prioritize that. We haven't prioritized that in years. We prioritize cheap labor. Oh, anyone who wants to bring another 50,000. No, just bring these people in. Bring these people in. Now we have this filthy, crime-ridden society lacking in trust. Corruption breaming from it, and we wonder why. Decades of bringing in third worlders who aren't interested in being American. They're interested in looting the place, but being American? No, not so much at all. That's what has brought us here. Don't ever buy this lie that legal immigration is just fine, just the illegals. Mass immigration doesn't become wonderful just because some scumbag politician decides that it's legal. That's not a thing at all. yes, people can immigrate to your country. Of course, it's always been something. Slowly, purposefully, it should be very difficult. And you should have to not only prove your patriotism while you get here, even after you get citizenship, you should maintain it or run the risk of being sent back. That's how immigration should be handled in every country, not just ours. Somalia should handle theirs the same way, although nobody's crossing the ocean to get into that dump. Now, speaking of companies hiring foreigners, who does your cell phone company hire? Who do you talk to when you get a hold of Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? Who is it? Do they sound like they're from Omaha? Seattle? Or maybe someplace a little further away? When you pick up your phone right now and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, you know what? I guarantee you, you will speak to someone who speaks English well, because it's going to be an American. Pure Talk hires Americans right here at home. It's not just that it'll be a pleasant 10 minutes on the phone while you switch your cell phone service. You get to speak to an American who speaks English. That's what happens when you patronize a company whose CEO did two tours in Vietnam. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you can email your questions in still to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let us get back to some of these. Before we do that, Dome's still out there on the podcast circuit. And man, it's not going well.
Are you kidding me? This guy wants to create a ballroom for his rich friends, while completely turning a blind eye to the fact that babies are going to starve when the SNAP benefits end in just hours from now? Come on. So what? I'm not going to be distracted by, oh, does the guy have a big hammer? What about those babies?
You know, there's something about, I was going to say politics, but really about So many people who are, quote, famous today, you have so much access to them, don't you? You have so much access to them. Think about how much access you would have to actually ever hear a politician speak in the year 1930. And remember, back in this era, back in, you know, the World War II era, FDR, who was president, he got really famous for doing what were called fireside chats. You ever heard these before? If not, I highly recommend, fascinating little piece of history. FDR would do radio addresses to the United States of America, where it's just what you think. You would gather around the radio as a family, and you would hear FDR address the country. Hey, the war is going well. This is it. This is the, okay, fireside chats. That was unique back then. Getting to hear the president's voice on a fairly regular basis. And remember, that would be a written speech for him that he would essentially read on the radio. That's not very much access. And that was unique. For them, that was a lot of access. Before that, you would probably think about this. Prior to, let's call it 1920, the vast majority of Americans never, ever, 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 even one time heard the president's voice. You didn't know what he sounded like. Today, shoot, you can tell if the president has a pimple. You know. And there's benefits and there's negatives to that kind of access. But one of the benefits to having this much access is sincerity is so much harder for these people to fake. Me, speaking of access, you listen to me for 3 hours a day, possibly four if you watch the TV show I do at night. I'm riding in the car with you. I'm at work with you. I'm driving your kids to school with you. You know what I like to eat. You know the names of my children. You know what I care about. You know what I don't care about. You know me. And you would know if I was ever full of crap. You just would, because I'm with you for 3 hours a day. You can't fake it. The problem for people like Dome is she can't fake sincerity. They're too exposed. In fact, that'd be a great name for her biography if she wrote one. Too exposed.
Are you kidding me? This guy wants to create a ballroom for his rich friends while completely turning a blind eye to the fact that babies are going to starve when the SNAP benefits end in just hours from now? Come on. So what? I'm not going to be distracted by, oh, does the guy have a big hammer? What about those babies?
Does she sound even a little bit concerned about the babies? Or does that sound like one big put on? And she also dropped this little gem in there. Sometimes the communist is a little too naked with his lust for power. You're supposed to kind of keep that quiet. But Dome, man, she's really naked.
I think we should reduce voting age to 16. I'll tell you why. So Gen Z, their age about 13 through 27, they've only known the climate crisis. They missed substantial parts of their education because of the pandemic. If they're in high school or college, especially in college, it is very likely that whatever they've chosen as their major for study may not result in an affordable wage. They've coined the term climate anxiety to describe fear of not only being able to buy a home, but that fear will be wiped out by extreme weather, but fear of having children.
What? What does she even talk about? That she even had to fake being surprised on election night?
When I got a call from my campaign manager.
Oh, and do remember that every time they talk about lowering the voting age, that's just a naked power grab. That's all that is. We should be raising the voting age.
When I got a call from my campaign manager that it looks like we need 200,000 more votes that we can't find, meaning it's just the map, the numbers. Mm-hmm. And the thing I kept saying over and over again, I was in a state of shock. I was so inarticulate. But maybe very articulate. What I kept saying over and over again is, my God, my God, my God.
Really?
Over and over, I couldn't stop. I haven't felt that emotion, anything similar to the emotion I felt that day and for quite some time, other than the grief I felt when my mother died.
Yeah. Hey, Hogslayer, we've all heard about the Hellcat in Berna. What else makes up your everyday carry? A blade, a light, first aid? All right, so a couple things. A blade, I actually do not carry a blade on me all the time. Sometimes it doesn't work with my dress situation. I would like to have a blade on me all the time. I would be lying to you if I told you I did. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Hellcat is always on me. Berna is always on me. You are well aware I like to have lethal and a non-lethal option. Remember, by the way, Berna has a big sale going on right now. BYRNA. Remember that even if you can't carry a Hellcat, everyone can carry a Berna. Everybody. And I would recommend you carry both if you can. You want a less lethal option. Berna will stop a bad man. Legal in all 50 states. All 50 states. You don't need a permit. The security agencies use it. SWAT teams use it. Bernas are the real friggin' deal, man. It's already saved the life of one of my listeners. BYRNA. Berna.com. Berna.com. First aid. I have been lacking. I do not carry first aid on me, and that is stupid. I need to, and I'm mad at myself. There, I bared my soul for you. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you miss a single solitary second, in fact, If you're out trick-or-treating tonight, I wouldn't even watch the kids. Just go listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. They'll be fine. Trust me. What's the worst that could happen? Speaking of the worst that could happen, in all seriousness, I should probably address something that I tried to rush towards the end of last segment. The question was about everyday carry, Hellcat, Berna, you already know that. And he was asking about blades and lights and first aid. So light, I almost always have a light on me. Blade is a sometimes thing. First aid, this is, I have no excuses. I'm negligent, okay? I am negligent. This is one of those super important things that I personally have put off. So I'm about to lecture myself, and I'm just going to go ahead and lump you in with me, all right? Obviously, we have first aid kits here at the studio in case some psycho shows up and we have to kill him, but one of us gets shot. We're not going to patch him up, but we have to patch ourselves up. We have first aid here. I have first aid at the house, all kinds of quick clot stuff, same thing in my car. So I have first aid there. Carrying first aid on me. You don't either, do you, Chris? Corey? Corey doesn't either. Chris, I know everyone has it in the car, but you're not getting any points for having it in the car. Yes, I do have it in the car. I don't carry it on me. And, you know, these are stories that don't ever get published. They never, ever, ever get published. People don't even talk about them in their articles. But when there are shootings, mass shootings, shootings in public, on more than one occasion, somebody has saved the life of a victim. It doesn't have to be shootings either, car wrecks, whatever. Someone has saved the life of a victim because they had on them some sort of first aid. Some sort of first aid. Something to stop the bleeding. Something to a quick patch, right? Not perform surgery. Let me tell you why I feel guilty. Because this has really been on my heart for, I'd say, 6 months to a year. I have wanted to take my entire family out for just a Saturday, maybe a Saturday, Sunday, a basic first aid course, and then make sure everybody had something on them, and I have not done it. I have been negligent. Maybe you're right there with me. Maybe you're better than me, and that I hope you are, but I have no excuses to give you. I talk to you all the time about trying to be ready and be prepared. But as you can tell, I fail all the time too, just like you. I have every excuse I can tell you. Oh, I'm busy. But I've had time. I've had Saturdays where I haven't done anything. I've had a Sunday after church where we don't do squat, sit around and smoke queso. That's smoked queso on a queso smoker. I didn't want to make it sound like it was. Chris, you never know the new names for drugs and stuff. I didn't want people to think that I was some dirty hippie. Jesse, if President Trump, through his appointees, leaves in place the communist power brokers who believe that they did not do enough to affect the outcome of the election and did not do enough to incapacitate their political opponents, then all his accomplishments will disappear as quickly when his first term accomplishments became the Biden administration, only worse the next time. You are correct. Essentially what he said there, it was a long sentence, is he has to drain the swamp. He has to get the people out. And he does. Now, let me say this part. It's going to sound like a defense, and frankly, it is a defense. I would be crushing Trump if there had been no firings, if there had been, if nobody had been let go. I would be crushing him as a failure, as a disgrace. You know I would. I did that many times during his first term when he left the swamp sitting there. This Trump has been draining it about as fast as it's possible to drain it while also doing certain things. For instance, let's make it about the FBI. You understand my particular hatred of the Cheka just because I hate secret police organizations. So let's make it about the FBI. There are so many sick freaks still at the FBI. Evil people who have burrowed their way in and should be fired. No question about that. But there's also no question about this. There are some threats we kind of need someone to take care of. We do. I'm not saying it has to be the FBI. As I've said, there are other organizations I believe can start to take this over. But you, I'm sure, saw the announcement this morning, still kind of gauging the validity of that. There are some rumors that Kash Patel jumped the gun when he announced it. But in case you didn't see, this morning, Kash Patel comes out and says, hey, we stopped a couple guys in Michigan, Dearborn, surprise, surprise. We stopped a couple guys in Michigan from committing a terror attack. They were going to commit a terror attack on Halloween. Now, if you believe that, and that's up to you, but if you believe that, you say to yourself, okay, well, that's good. Who knows what that would have been? A nail bomb on the kiddies or something? Who knows? Something bad? Whatever it was going to be bad. It's going to be terrible. So you need the secret police cleaned out. Frankly, you should stop the whole organization, but that's beside the point. You need the secret police. You need them stopped, but you still have to have an FBI, at least in your mind you do right now. When it comes to the other portions of the deep state, like the DOJ is a great example of this. The Department of Justice has to have all kinds of lawyers dealing with all kinds of cases. Now, how many lawyers still at the DOJ are dirty communist scumbags who should be nowhere near power? Obviously some. You don't know an exact number, and neither do I, but we can both acknowledge there are some, right? You would know, you would acknowledge that. But still, you have cases to prosecute. So let's say you have a scumbag commie lawyer named Chris. You need Chris to prosecute this case. Whatever the case, maybe it's a drug case. You need Chris to prosecute this drug case. It's been his drug case. He's got this guy dead to rights. He's halfway through the trial process. And you need commie Chris to put this guy away. You know you need Commie Chris out of your organization because he's poisonous and he's going to ruin the coffee situation. You just know you need him gone. But at the same time, you kind of have to finish the case because you can't just drop it. The Trump administration. This is me. You know I would blow a gasket if I was angry with him. I have many times before. They're doing a pretty freaking good job at draining it as fast as it can be. Is it as fast as you want it or I want it? Of course not. But they're draining it as fast as they can. Remember, these are also government employees. They don't have the same luxury you have, where if you're in charge, you can just look at that person and say, you're fired. And then you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and you find a replacement and you'll probably find one within a day. The government doesn't have that luxury. I can do that. In fact, I'm doing it right now. Chris? I didn't say here. It was for something else I've got going on. But right now, ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, it allows me to find a replacement before I unload a bit of dead weight that's holding me back. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody great on the first day. It really is miraculous, man, what they do. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. You're looking for seasonal people? They got it. You're looking for something more permanent like I am? Maybe something in production? They have that too. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Jesse, why does Congress get paid when the government is being shut down? All these things come back to they're going to ensure that they're taken care of first. And this is what frustrates you and it frustrates me so much about our government and our Congress and these people. It is so frustrating that we want them to fight for us. We want them to serve us. We want these people to be on our side, on our team, and we want them to put the American people, put the little guy first. How is it that we're getting emails from people in the Navy who can't afford gas to drive to work, but Congress is still cashing their checks? Hey, I don't know about you. I remember COVID when they were shutting down the gyms across America so nobody could go lift weights or get on the treadmill, and the congressional gym remained open. These people think they're above us. They work in this white marble. They feel like they have power. They have these lobbyists meeting with them all the time. They feel like they're really important and they think they're above us. That's the best explanation I can give you. All right. We have to talk about food. I want to talk about Venezuela first, horror movies, all that and so much more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to Venezuela, I want to touch on this. Hey, interdimensional being, I don't imagine you much of a horror fan because you scared your own hair off. It's not nice. But what's your favorite scary movie? I don't do scary movies. All right. I have done many in my life, especially in my younger years. And you know what I realized? This happened to me in Thailand, as a matter of fact. And I believe I remember the name of the movie, but Chris is going to have to look this up. We were in Thailand, and look, once you've seen the elephants and enough kickboxing and enjoyed yourself out in town enough times, sometimes you're fishing around for something to do. Sometimes you just want to relax. We decided we were going to go to a movie. Now, there weren't a lot of English-speaking movies playing in the theater over there, but there was one, and I think it was called Long Time Dead. Now, I don't want to overstate it. Maybe I was in a weird place mentally. Was that the name of a horror movie, Chris? Like about some demon thing or something like that? What year did it come out? Yeah. Ouija board thing. Okay, yeah, it was real. All kinds of demon, evil, horrible stuff that I don't like to dabble in anyway. Long Time Dead was the name of the movie. It's the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life on film. Freaking horrifying. But again, remember, demons are real. And I know they are real. And so that kind of stuff really just creeps me out because I know that stuff is real. I walk out of the movies after Long Time Dead, and I could have been riding an elephant. We could have been getting some chicken fly lice somewhere. We could have been whatever. Instead, I walk out of this movie and I feel like crap. It's like, it was scary. It was awful. And I had an epiphany in that moment. Why am I watching this? Why do I want to feel like I felt just bad in my soul for having watched it? I just watched some demon killing people. I don't think I've ever watched a horror movie since then. And that was 20 years ago. What, Chris? Chris said, what about horror comedy? Okay, now, I should clarify. If it's some monster, I don't believe in monsters. If it's some monster that's half funny and cheesy, Jason, right? If there's some Jason movie, okay, it's gonna be bad acting, and of course the black dude's gonna get killed first, and it's gonna be every scary movie cliche in the world, and you're gonna have the young lovers that are out on Makeout Mountain, and they're gonna die, and like it's all the scary movie cliche stuff. That's okay. Chris said Hot Fuzz, like a zombie movie with jokes in it. That's not a horror movie. I'm not talking about anything with zombies or stuff. I'm talking dark stuff like that. I swore off it 20 years ago. I've never looked back, and I don't get it. And what's worse? Ob and my oldest boy, James, freaking love that stuff. They love it. And it actually is precious. It's one of the mother-son things they do. The second there's a new horror movie out in the theaters, they're going. Luke and me, they know better than to even ask. Nah, I'm good. Luke's the same way I am. He's like, nah, I'm good. I don't know why I would. I don't know what that does for me. That doesn't sound like fun at all. I don't do horror movies. That's not for me. Do I sound like a wuss, Chris? I don't sound like... Chris gets it. Dear Bronco, I emailed you a couple weeks ago about what rural America is thinking about world politics and world peace. We are getting ready for war with Venezuela. Why? I realize they're sending drugs, but war with the country and so on. Okay. All right. So Trump came out earlier today. The audio is real rough. I listened to it and I couldn't decide if it was too rough for radio because he was on the plane. He was on Air Force One. He was doing one of those impromptu things on the plane where the reporters had surrounded him, and there were reports that ground strikes in Venezuela are coming. Remember, what was it, yesterday we had Brandon Weikert on? And Weikert told us, he said, I'm telling you, ground strikes are coming. Brandon Weikert said he thinks that we're sending in the Marines. So more than, we're not talking about dropping a couple bombs. It sounds like it might be boots on the ground. Trump was asked today on Air Force One, hey, there's reporting out there that ground strikes are coming for Venezuela. And Trump promptly said no, which means Venezuela's probably screwed. Remember, Trump was asked this before. Trump is a big believer, correctly so, in misdirection when it comes to military strikes. He was asked this about Iran. Hey, what about Iran? No, they're fine. And about half a minute later, we were dropping bombs on Iran. So Trump is not going to give the game away to the press. In fact, the fact that he said no probably means the answer is yes, it's coming. I don't want to get ahead of myself because maybe it'll be a couple bombs. Maybe it won't be anything. Maybe we're really not going to do anything. But really, as you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, what is it, about 8 o'clock Eastern time? We might be going in right now, for all I know. I don't know. And we're not going to be able to suss this out on the internet right now during the show, so don't get your hopes up. This is, we're not going to know until the true information filters through. You say why? We can get to the why in a minute, but there is something that is very noticeable about the Trump administration. There is a noticeable shift in foreign policy. You've probably already noticed it. If you haven't, as soon as I say it, you're going to notice it. We have been very Eastern Hemisphere focused for decades and decades and decades in this country when it comes to our foreign policy. What are they doing in the Middle East? What's happening at Russia? China? Very, very Eastern focused. The Trump administration, they believe you have to lock down your own backyard first. And they have been shifting military and intelligence assets from the Eastern Hemisphere to the Western Hemisphere. Not just a belief in securing your own backyard. We have had Russia and China moving into our own backyard while we were looking elsewhere. Trump administration is correctly concerned about that. So that from a 30,000-foot view, that is something the Trump administration believes in. Hey, we got to secure our backyard first, then we'll start worrying about the neighbor, right? Now, I'll finish up this talk about the why. We'll talk about the why in a moment. Before we get to the why are you giving your dog brown food every meal? What color is your dog's food? I don't care what it says on the bag. I know you bought a special blend. He loves the chicken. I get that. Those are artificial flavors. You know that. Why artificial? Well, there may have been chicken in that dog food at one point, but considering they baked the dog food at the surface temperature of the sun, they cooked all the nutrients out of it. We give our dogs empty calories every meal. That's why Rough Greens has blown up the way it has. The number one dog supplement in America is Rough Greens because you sprinkle it on your dog's food and it's all the live nutrients your dog needs. The vitamins, the minerals, the everything. Your dog will love it. You will see so many physical differences and you'll have a dog that lives longer, and that's the most important thing. Go to roughgreens.com for a free jumpstart trial bag. Use the promo code Jesse or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll finish up this Venezuela talk next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.